Hare Krishna. I am very grateful to be with you today. Our annual day of Gopal's Garden. Special gratitude to all the faculty, administration of the school, all the parents who entrust their children, and all the children. Last night, I was speaking to a group of very highly connected people who were involved in an international school. They were expressing great concern over the foundational needs of their children. Socrates, he said that education is not something that we acquire from without and bring in. Real knowledge is bringing out what is already within. That is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. The values that we give our children is the foundation of their lives and the foundation of the world for the future. Mathematics, science, engineering, language, athletics, whatever subjects are there in school, is building on the foundation. But unless we put a top priority on the foundation, then whatever's built upon it will have very little value to the real welfare of ourselves or humanity. Real fulfillment comes by living with integrity, by actually having the pleasure of Krishna as the center of our life. And the whole basis of a happy society is that principle. So often in today's world, and especially in India, the land of Dharma, the school systems are so atrociously passionate for good grades and results, there's practically no time for parents, teachers, or children to really cultivate what is truly important in life. And that is our spiritual values. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Guru na sasyat svajaniya pasyat, whether one is a guru, a parent, a teacher, foremost responsibility is to give the child the inspiration, the faith, and the knowledge by which they never have to take birth in this material world again. Dharma, true Sanatan Dharma, is not about being a politician or a businessman or a swami or a mother or a father. Sanatan Dharma is about harmonizing our occupation and our duties with true values for the pleasure of Krishna, in the service of God. Atapumbir dvijastrestas varnashrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haditoshana. Whatever our occupation, whatever our ashram, its success is that we please Krishna. And Krishna is pleased by our devotion. And our devotion is built upon our values. Unfortunately, in the progress for wealth, in the progress for power, in the passion to pass exams, we exploit the very hearts of human society by not prioritizing the foundational values that we should build our lives upon. And one of those values is the appreciation of our mothers. Look at what is happening to the world today. Because we don't understand the Vedic conception of the absolute necessity for a peaceful life and peaceful society to honor and respect our mothers. The earth is our mother. She's being exploited in such ways that if we keep going this way, even the greatest geologists and scientists don't know how life can continue. Here in India, the river Yamuna, Yamuna Mayi, she is one of our most sacred mothers. She nourishes hundreds of millions of people with her water. On one level, she's a goddess, the Shakti of Krishna, who is the personification of Krishna's compassion in this world. On a physical level, lives depend on water. She's being dammed, she's being diverted, and the riverbed of the Yamuna is being filled with industrial waste and sewage. And when you bathe in Vrindavan or Prayag from the Yamuna side, you're just bathing in the sewage of Delhi. This is India, the land of Dharma. Is this the way to honor our mother? The cow is our mother. India is one of the top countries in the world for exporting slaughtered meat of cows. And what are we doing about it? How are we going to change this? We have to educate our children with values, not just put them in a swirl of anxiety about their exams or where they're going to go to college. And our own mothers. You see, whether it's Mother Earth or the Yamuna River or the cow or the mothers of our families, a mother seva is supremely sacred, but it's very gentle. Oftentimes it's men who fight wars, who run politics, who bring money home. and they're so much recognized. And the mother who's taking care of children, who cares? Let them do it. What glorification, what honor do they receive? It's become so bad that in secular society, so many women are abandoning taking care of children for careers. Because that's the way the society sees it. Otherwise, they're just worthless mothers sitting home, cooking, cleaning, nursing. And even within religious societies. And sad to say, even within our own spiritual society. How much do even the husbands or the society at large value and honor the contribution of a mother? It's quite rare. And it's one of the saddest deviations from Vedic culture. Because a mother who does that gentle service, whether she's just quietly flowing as a river or giving milk in a goshala, or whether she's just Mother Earth providing quietly crops and trees and fruits and vegetables, or mother at home who's washing and cleaning and loving little babies, and keep staying up all night if necessary. 24-hour service, a good mother. Do we appreciate? Do we honor? If the society at large does not honor, how will our children appreciate? Krishna showed us a good lesson. He was conquered by the love of his mother. Yashoda Mai, she wasn't a warrior. She wasn't a great scholar. She was just taking care of Gopal. She didn't even know he was God. But she served his every need with such motherly love that the Supreme Absolute Truth accepted being bound by her love. And Queen Kunti, we just saw this beautiful performance about her prayers. What a mother she was. When she was praying to Krishna, she was remembering Yashoda Mai. That Krishna, you are feared by fear personified. Yet when Yashoda Mai had her little stick and was sitting in front of you after you stole the butter, your limbs were trembling. Your lips were quivering. Tears were pouring from your eyes, mixing with the black mascara and decorating your whole body. And you were pleading to be forgiven. The Supreme Absolute Truth is showing the power of a mother's love, that he himself, Lord Narasingadev, we know his powers. Lord Varahadev, the Virat Rupa, the universal form, in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where here is the source of that, all of those forms, conquered by the love of his mother. That is Krishna consciousness. Sri Radha is the motherly or feminine aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth. In the family, the mother represents Srimati Radharani. What is the exalted service that she has as that representation? For our children to be emotionally and spiritually and physically nourished properly, they require loving, devoted mothers who seriously take responsibility for that service. And for society to be stable and to spiritually flourish, the society has to recognize and honor the loving service of a mother. I saw in my own life in early years, in Krishna consciousness, where if a lady was distributing a lot of books, or a lady was making a lot of money, or ladies, some of them even work construction, just to be recognized as accomplishing something. But being a mother, there was no credibility of accomplishing anything, because there's not something immediate results. But so many of the problems in our own society is because in the long run, look what happens. Children are left without proper values and without proper love. You see, in Krishna consciousness, a mother and a father are supposed to be nourishing their children with Krishna's love, as representatives of Krishna. If we're always talking about Krishna, if we're filling our home with an atmosphere of bhakti, but we're not representing Krishna's love to them, it's going to be a very contradictory experience. They're seeing Krishna everywhere by their parents, but they're not experiencing Krishna's love through their parents. This is a great need for each one of us, for our society, and for the world. And I am so happy, so grateful that Gopal's Garden, by their own realization, have given this emphasis of appreciating and honoring a Krishna conscious mother, and exalting their contribution every bit as much as we exalt the contribution of a sannyasi, or a temple president, or a GBC. Because even all of us, we will not be stable without the loving care of a mother sometime in our life. In Ramayana, when Ram was being exiled to the forest, he touched the feet of his mother, Kausalya. And how she wept. She begged him, "Don't go." But when she saw he was determined to go, Kausalya, she demonstrated such courage. She did not want Ram to feel bad when he had to perform his dharma of exile. So she restrained her tears and blessed him. "Yes, my child, you're doing the right thing. You must go. Be safe, be happy, and come back." That's the greatness of our culture, the sacrifice of a loving mother. And even though India has more than anywhere else in the world the proper conception of the feminine divine aspect of the Absolute Truth, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, Parvati and Shiva. Most of the Western religions are very male-dominated spiritual systems, but in India, the feminine aspect has great prominence. Srila Prabhupada said in Vrindavan, more people say Radhe Radhe and Jai Radhe than they say Krishna, because they know without getting the blessings of the mother, Sri Radha, they cannot approach Krishna. But even in this culture, there's so much abuse of women. It's not our culture. It's such a deviation. This has to be changed. We have to restore the sanctity and the purity of Sanatana Dharma and what our sages and rishis and forefathers have given us here in India. And that's depending on honoring, respecting, and appreciating the contributions of Mother Cow, Mother Earth, Mother Yamuna and Ganga, and our mothers right at home. Thank you for creating this wonderful foundation for the future of our children and the future of our world. In this spirit, we can, with a very, very firm foundation, perform the Sankirtan of the holy names together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In many places, children are afraid of their fathers, but they trample all over their mothers. Is that true in some of your families? That's the selfish nature of a mother's love. In my own life, my father was a wonderful father. He still is. But he struggled like anything. He was at work at least 10 hours a day. He'd come home for dinner and then go to sleep. And it was the mother that was taking care of us 24 hours a day, seeing to every need. What a sacrifice. And without that, I don't know what I would be. So we should all recognize and imbibe these values in our own lives and in our children. The concept of Gopal's garden was conceived by Braj Kumari and Rasarani and some of the others, that the children are the little flowers. And this is Gopal's garden. It's not your garden. It's not my garden. It's Krishna's garden. And they are his flowers. And the teachers, the administrators, the parents of the children at home, we're the gardeners. We all have to work together. If we think this is my flower, this is my garden, then we can do it our way. But Sarvalokamaheshwaram, if we recognize these are Krishna's children, I'm just a caretaker. And we must nourish, we must protect and nourish these children so that they can grow into beautiful flowers that blossom with a real experience of being happy in Krishna consciousness. That is the basic mission of Gopal's garden. And I'm very proud to see how you are all so sincerely pursuing this mission. Thank you very much. Prabhupada, he would tell us that when he was a little boy, his mother would do so many little rituals for his protection. Sometimes she would put saliva on his forehead, and he didn't understand what was happening. But one thing he understood, that she just loved him and cared about him so much. Great Swami, thinking back about the love of his mother. That's how all our children feel when they grow. Hare Krishna.